Okay, let's all pray together. Almighty God, we cry out to you and ask for your presence here. We thank you for your salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross for our sins. We thank you for his resurrection through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for setting up GCAC here and for allowing us to worship together. I pray for every children here. Please give them your wisdom and help them to understand your words and help them to trust in you and follow you at their young ages. Lord, be gracious to them and bless them and use your face to shine upon them. And I also pray for the transition of the English ministry here. Please give us clear vision and mission and guide us in our walk with you. Please encourage more brothers and sisters to serve with faithfulness and courage. There are several church members who are driving back from the live conference in Florida today. I pray for their safety while they are driving back home. I also pray for all levels of government officers and Congress members for them to follow your will and righteously lead this country. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, you may dismiss. So today is a Mission Sunday. I would like to share the first part, which is including the mission trips to Turkey and Lebanon. Afterwards, Vicky will share her missions experience in Morocco. So I think after the first man sinned, the first sentence God said to this man, Adam, is in Genesis 3, verses 9. Where are you? And from this moment, from this sentence, it reveals God's plan, God's will. He would like to constantly search for his lost people. And the plan is start in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is a covenant between God and Abraham. And there's two parties. The first one is God. God wants to bless Abraham and bless his offspring, become a great nation. And the other party is Abraham. And what's the responsibility of Abraham is he will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through Abraham and the Israelites. And we know in the Old Testament, the Israelites are God's chosen people. But what's the purpose God chose the Israelites? It's not only want to bless the Israelites, but want us then to be the testimony of God and draw all nations to know God and also let the salvation of God among all nations. So that's the true purpose why God blessed the Israelites and chose them. However, we all know that the Israelites ignore God's calling for them. However, our God is a faithful God. Even the Israelites ignore God's calling, but God still wants to keep his plan. Therefore, God gave the plan of the responsibility from the Israelites to the church today, including everyone here, you and me. So in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 to 90, we just read it, and we know this is a great commission. And here, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So I think this is God's will and God's command. So sometimes when we share or encourage brothers and sisters to involve in mission, and sometimes we got the responses are, you know, we don't have that desire. We do not have that feeling or burden, and we are not ready yet, or we are not good enough. I'm sorry to say, here, this is God's command. It doesn't matter. You have burden or feeling desire or not, God wants you to do it. So you have only two options. The first one is obey. The second one is disobey. There is no other option for you to choose. So we know the God's disciple, Peter. And at his old age, he wrote two letters to the churches in current Turkey. And that's the first and second Peter. Because at that time, some church members, they're wondering why Jesus had not come back. And is God delayed? And the Holy Spirit, through Peter, talked to the church members. God is not delayed. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's God's will. He wants everyone to repent and return to God. And that's why he wants to give people a chance. Some people interpret God's patience is directed at the non-believers. However, it's not. It's not just want to give non-believers a chance to believe in God. However, at this point, God's patience is directed at the church. God wants to give church an opportunity to obey him, to spread the gospel, and to live out the Great Commission. That's God's will. So once we understand the truth of God's will, and we know the Great Commission, then we must take actions. So this year, GCAC sent a short mission team to Turkey and Lebanon. And from May 10 and May 27, total for 18 days. And last year, we have a team to Turkey for missions. And this year, we praise God to extend our territory, not only to Turkey, but also to Lebanon. And we partner with an organization, it's called Galilee Missions. And the purpose of the vision of this organization is to send out the missionaries to unreached people group and also to establish church that they can grow and plant additional church. So the purpose of our short-term mission team is to visit and care the missionaries in Turkey and Lebanon. And also we want to be the testimony of God's grace in those areas. So we have three team members, Doris, Michael, and myself. So our journey, the first stop is to Istanbul in Turkey. And we stayed there for about 6 days, and then we moved to Beirut in Lebanon. So in Istanbul, we got a chance to visit a local Turkish church. And we visit a couple, and this couple are Muslims, but converted from Islam to Christianity. So about 20 years ago, the husband met a Korean missionary, and the Korean missionary shared the gospel to this man. And in the beginning, he just wanted to read Bible and compare it with Quran. And one day when he reads the book of John, and Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And also another phrase, Jesus said while on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And suddenly, Holy Spirit touched him. And he felt this is an incredible love. It's not the love from the human beings. And he believed this is so incredible. And the Holy Spirit compelled him to accept Jesus as his personal savior. After he became a Christian, he tried to invite his wife to go to the church with him. But his wife does not want to go because they just got married not long ago. And they need to work 6 days a week and Sunday to rest. However, eventually, she still reluctantly went to the church with her husband. In one very special service, a Korean pastor from U.S. shares the message of the cross. Immediately, she saw a vision of Christ being nailed to the cross before her eyes. She could not help but cry. And from that point, she continued to pray, and she experienced God's grace and peace in many circumstances. And currently, they serve in the church faithfully, and also in the Sunday school and children ministry. And we got the chance to share with them and that Korean missionary. And they mentioned to us, these days there's several obstacles for Muslims to convert into Christianity. And the number one is they often receive the objections from their family, from their community, and from their friends. And this couple, their family is quite open-minded. They don't strongly oppose them to go to the church. But in some areas, it's very serious. If you want to convert your faith to Christianity, and you will receive a lot of the people really reject you. And they also mention, because there is a very bad testimonies from other Christians. And they say these days in Middle East, in Muslim community, there are two common ways for people convert their faith from Islam to Christianity. Number one is they see God's miracles and the visions and dreams from God. The number two is they see the God's love through the Christians, and especially for those Syrian refugees. They fear their own people does not accept them and also want to kill them. That's why they escaped from Syria. But they noticed that the love, the God's love from those Christians, they really touch their hearts. So those are two common ways for Islam, for them to convert their faith from Islam to Christianity. And we also got the opportunity to visit a Turkish Muslim. And we joined their barbecue dinner. And they are the neighbors of the missionaries. And the missionaries often care and visit their family. And so they establish a very good relationship. And this couple married for more than 10 years, but without any children. So they rely on in vitro fertilization and have a baby. However, the baby has a brain damage. So before we left, it's very hard for this family to take care of the baby. And the missionary asked, can we pray for this child? And they say yes. So we just pray for this child and this family. We ask God to bless this family and let this family know there is only one way in their life, that is Jesus Christ. And we also attended the Turkish church, attended their Sunday service. Although we do not understand the Turkish language a bit, but we still feel so enjoyable, and because we all feel the same Holy Spirit. And that same Sunday night, we went to the Chinese church. That's the only Chinese church in Istanbul. So the missionaries need to have the legal residence to stay in Turkey. And God provides a travel agent for them and with very experienced co-workers to help them. And we hope they're not only able to get a legal residence, the visa to work, to stay in Turkey, but they can have generate enough income to support themselves and their ministry. And we also pray God continue to bless them and they can provide more job opportunities for those local people. So the next stop, we went to the Lebanon, and the province is called Begar. And this province is near the Syrian borders. And in Lebanon, the population is 4.5 million. And there's about 1.5 million. They came from Syria. They are Syrian refugees. And we got the chance to involve some refugees ministries. In particular, we visit this Syrian Muslim family. So you can see their living condition is very bad. And this man had a very serious gunshot injury. He cannot walk unless he used help with the crutches. And we got the chance to share the gospel. And after he listened, he voluntarily said that Jesus is the true God. It's really not easy for Muslims. They say Jesus, to claim Jesus is the true God. Because even in their religions, they believe only one God. However, they view Jesus as a prophet. They don't consider Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the true God. So I know because there's lots of the missionaries surrounding this family and provides God's love. And also the Holy Spirit touches this man and to let him recognize Jesus is the true God. And this is a picture we took together after we led him to pray together. We also got the chance to visit some Kurdish refugees. The couple, the man next to me is an Egyptian missionary, and the family next to him is a Kurdish refugee families, and a couple with three children. They came to Lebanon, and not long, they believe in Christ. After they believe in Christ, almost immediately, they are so happy to open their house to have the weekly Bible study and the fellowship meetings. Even their living condition is so poor, but they're still willing to open their house. And they even turned down the opportunity to move to another city to get a better job opportunity because they are so treasures the relationship with the brothers and sisters. And he shared to us when he was in Syria, he could not imagine one day so many Kurdish people, they have received Jesus as their saviors. So we went to a Syrian refugee camp. A lot of the refugees escaped from Syria. In the beginning, they would stay in the camp. And this camp occupied about 22 acres, 500 families living in tents. And you can see their living condition is so bad. However, they are still very hospitable. So even we met only once, there are two families invited us into their homes. And usually men talk to the men in the family, and the sisters share with the women and the children. And they still need to find the jobs, but it's so difficult for them to find a regular job. And the only job they can find is the jobs the local Lebanese people, they do not want to do. Usually they work 8 hours a day, and they will make about $15 a day. And Galilee Missions, they established a refugee school in this city. And the teachers and assistants came from Egypt and Lebanon and Syria. They start every single day with worship, Bible study, and prayers. And you can see the picture in the left. After their prayer time, they will lead children in worship. And the two pictures on the left, right-hand side is during the break, and Michael and Doris, they play with the children very joyful. And they pray together, and they just walk outside to take a break. And they rented a building, and the daytime they use for school, and during the night they can hold different meetings, like the Kurdish church meeting or the local Lebanese meeting. And in order to provide them a more income for those refugees, the missionaries also taught them how to make the olive oil soap and help them to create crops. We also got the opportunities to visit some local Lebanese church. This church is a gospel church in Byblos. And the pastor, the pastor, before he believed in Christ, he had a very high pay job. However, he drank a lot of alcohol, and led in an unholy life. While he walked in Dubai, one day, because he was drunk too much, and he signed a contract by mistake, and it ended up he's liable to pay a lot of money. Because he does not have money, therefore his passport was held ransom. And he tried to contact all his friends, but no one able to help. So one day, he tried to commit suicide. He walked to the roof of a tall building, just tried to jump. At that moment, he felt a force from behind to hold him back and let him not able to jump. And he almost freeze for quite a few minutes. After that, she just gave up the plane. One day, he sat on the street, on the side of the street, and he looks miserable. And an Egyptian man passed by and saw this man, his name is Johnny, and invited him to the church and share the gospel to him, and he becomes a Christian. After becoming a Christian, he changed his lifestyle totally, and God helped him to get his passport back and helped him to deal with his debts step by step. Finally, he got his passport and able to back to Lebanon to united with his family. All his old friends were so surprised to see him because he changed a lot. They cannot recognize. And Johnny was very eager to share the gospel to others. About 8 years ago, in 2011, his wife was diagnosed to have a very serious kidney disease. And from the CT scan, shows there is a tumor on kidney. And she is so sick, and she went into a coma. No hospitals want to accept her and provide any kind of treatments. Doctor says they cannot do anything. Ask Johnny to take his wife home. So Johnny took his wife home and prayed to God. And God miraculously healed her. And even she does not need to take very expensive medicine. And God did that. And the doctors could not believe it and asked she back to the hospital to do another CT scan. And it turns out there is no sign of tumor. So right now this couple have opened a church in Byblos. And we also passed by a CMA church. It's so nice to see CMA church in Byblos. And we do not have time to visit, and hopefully next year we can go to pay a visit. And one day before we left Lebanon, and Michael and Doris provided a lot of food, and we invited lots of missionaries. We can enjoy the food and share in God's love. And I would like to encourage everyone, plan ahead. And I hope God's touch your heart in Turkey and Beirut or in Lebanon. There are lots of things you can do about it. You can teach English. You can lead the vocation Bible school. You can do a lot of the visitation. There's a lot of things you can do about it. And I'm hoping our church, our young people, will be able to go next year. And this is not just only like a short time in your life, but it will have a lasting impact in your spiritual life. And I'm hoping God can use you as a clean vessel to bless other peoples. And next I will give the time to Vicky.
Oh. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. It's a little strange for me to be up here. Usually I'm like back there. but for those who don't know me, my name is Vicky Chang. I spent 1 year in Morocco from summer 2017 to 2018. And so I'm able to come up here and share with you guys all my testimony. But before we begin, I want to share some scripture. I know it's kind of small, so I'm just going to read it to you guys. But it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14-21. For love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be no sin, who knew no sin, so that we in him, we might become the righteousness of God. So I wanted to share this passage to all of you guys. Because I was preparing, I was thinking, well, what do I share? Like, why did I go to Morocco? You know, who am I? So I actually, you know, grew up in GCAC. I think I started coming here when I was like, maybe in kindergarten, the very first VBS that this church had, I was a participant in. So I don't know if anyone remembers that, but it was the medieval times, and we actually turned the GCC into like a castle theme. And so I grew up in a non-Christian family, so my parents are not Christian right now. But you guys probably know my family. Jessica, who's leading worship, is my cousin. Betsy, who's doing AV, is my cousin, too. And so, you know, I went through VBS, like, every summer. Then when I got older, I went to youth group. And then I went through all the years of youth group. And then I went to college. And then I came back for a little bit of time as a sponsor. So I see, like, some of the people here where I was, like, somewhat of a sponsor. I think I even went to, like, Life with them, which the Life group is coming back right now. And, you know, I got baptized here, too, like, on the stage right here. So GCAC is, like, a really big part of my life. And I know, like, many of you guys, too. And so, you know, when I read this passage, I think about, like, you know, how did God send me? You know, I'm not really someone who is, like, that special. I'm not someone who's really that wise. Actually, I remember hearing about mission trips at GCAC, and I always thought, you know, I was never good enough to go on those mission trips. Like, I didn't know enough words, like, I didn't know how to pray well enough, you know. I thought that only, like, really, like, holy people could go on do missions. And so, you know, I think God really just worked in me, and he allowed me the opportunity to go to Morocco. And, you know, when I was beginning to worship with you guys, I think there's something so special about us, the body of Christ, being able to worship together. And being able to worship together, to read the word together in Bible study, to be able to see each other in small group and share like our deepest heart and secrets and things that we might be struggling with. And I look at this passage, it's like, I'm here, you know, because my cousins, my uncle, their family brought my sister and I to church. They shared the gospel with us. You know, they loved us, they nurtured us. And by accepting Jesus, I am now a new creation. We are all new creations. God died for us, and he reconciled us. And so knowing that, God really placed in my heart, hey, there are so many people in the world who do not know Jesus. There are some parts in the world that are so dark where they walk around, and you'll never see a Christian for, like, miles. And so that's how God led me to Morocco. And so that's where I spent for 1 year. And so in Morocco, they speak Moroccan Arabic. And so to say Morocco in Moroccan Arabic is Al Maghreb. And so you might walk across the streets, you might say hello to them. And actually, it's funny because a lot of people ask me these questions and say that, oh, is all Arabic the same? And it's not. It's just like when we speak in Chinese, right? So my parents are from Hong Kong, we speak Cantonese. But then I was enrolled in a Mandarin Chinese school, I learned Mandarin. And even though Mandarin and Cantonese are both Chinese, they're not exactly the same. So that's kind of how I share how Moroccan Arabic is different from, Arabic in Lebanon or in Iraq. But you still say and greet people very similarly. So I would say Salam Alaikum, which means hello, peace be unto you. And so in Morocco, it's not a very big country. It's about the size of California, with 34 million people. And so the majority of the population is considered part of the Arab group. And then 36% of the population is the Berber group, which is the original people who lived in Morocco. The other 4% are people who traveled to Morocco for work or school purposes. Because actually, in Morocco, they have the third highest GDP. This is a Muslim nation, so it's 9.9% of the population is Muslim. So less than 1% is of any of the other religions. And that less than 1% is also Christianity. And also the capital is Rabat. So I had the time to spend in two different cities. I lived in both Rabat and Casablanca. But I didn't go by myself. I had one team. I kind of skipped over my team. But there's three people in my team that I lived with and did ministry with, where we went to school together, we did everything together. But there are other ministers as well from all different countries. So from America, from Canada. Both my teammates, one is from Wisconsin and one is from Vancouver. But we had just spoke English together. And then there are other ministers from the Philippines, other ministers from Australia, other ministers from Korea as well. And so we would gather together, all having this heart to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to people who do not know. And so here are just more pictures where we would gather together. And we would just worship and pray together and just really intercede for the different people of Morocco. So I was a student. When I was growing up, I went to Chinese school on Sundays. So actually, I wasn't able to start going to church till I was actually in college. But we want to be able to speak with the locals in their local language. So in Morocco, it used to actually be a French protectorate. And so a lot of people actually speak French, and they actually learn French. But because of their history, Moroccans don't actually like French very much, because it reminds them of them having been taken over by European powers. But they speak the local language, which is called Darija, which is Moroccan Arabic. And so we want to learn the local language so that we can converse with the locals in their heart language. So this is a picture of me in school, and that is my friend Boris. He kept me company when language school is not always fun or when language school is boring. And so that's one of my buddies right there. I did spend a long time working. Arabic is actually very difficult. I thought Chinese was difficult learning in school, but I think Arabic is actually maybe just as difficult. If you miss a dot or a squiggly, it can be a completely different word, can completely sound completely different. By the way, I did not draw that picture. I was a good student. It was my teammate who drew that. But it's fun, so I showed it to you guys. So here's more learning Arabic. And people might ask, are you a super fluent person now? So I actually use both my French and my Arabic there. And so I still think reading is really, really hard, just like how I cannot read, all the worship lyrics in Chinese. It takes me a little bit of while to read everything. So actually what they do is they romanize it. So instead of using the actual Arabic script, they might use English letters. So I actually converse more with that. But I wanted to share about two different stories today. So first is for those who might have read my prayer letters, I mentioned the sister a lot. Her name is Sister O. And she is a Muslim background believer, meaning, you know, her family, her community, they're all Muslims. And what's different in Morocco versus, like, the U.S. is, like, we have separation of religion, you know, from schools and from everything. But actually, in Morocco and many other nations, like, even probably, like, Turkey as well, you know, in their schools, like, everything is focused on Islam. And it's just, like, their way of life is woven in every single part. But someone else actually preached the gospel to her. And she received Jesus. And it wasn't through me, but it was actually through a different team with the same organization that I went to. But that team had to leave abruptly because they had their stay was ending. And so they wanted to be able to transfer her to be able to continue to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so we got to meet her. But she didn't actually like me and our team very much at first. You know, for me, I'm just, like, so excited because I'm like, wow. You know, to meet a fellow sister in Christ in Morocco is already, like, really rare and already really crazy. So I'm just, like, full of love for her, you know. But for her, she doesn't know me. She doesn't know my team. And all of a sudden, we're trying to become, like, really close friends to her. But she had a really big fascination with Korean culture. And, you know, I actually think I learned more about Korean culture through her than when I was here in America. You know, in America, I didn't really listen to, like, K-pop or watch any, like, K-dramas or anything, but she did. And so, actually, she told me when I first met her, she was 15. And then we had a birthday party with her, like, a month later, and I asked her, how old are you turning? She's, like, 15. And I was, like, really confused. But in Korean culture, they say that they're, like, their age that they say is, like, 9 months ahead of what they actually are. So she was at the time actually 14. But she told me she was 15 because that's, like, in Korean culture. And, you know, I learned who, like, BTS is through her. I had literally never heard of them in America before. Sorry, like, I really wasn't into K-pop in my older years. But, you know, I learned through her. And, you know, I really wanted to, like, read the word with her. I really wanted to, like, worship with her. But there was just this kind of, like, blockage. And I was just, like, praying for her. And I was like, what in the world do I do? And so I was just, like, praying. And for some reason, like, this Korean food came into my head. It's called kimbap, which is the way I like to associate it, kind of like sushi with, like, seaweed and everything, but no raw fish. And so I was like, okay, she really likes Korean culture. I'm going to make this for her, even though I'm not Korean, and even though I have very limited access to Korean food in Morocco. And so I attempted to make it for her, but I had no seaweed. And also I had no sushi vinegar for the rice as well. And I didn't have any, like, spam or anything. I had, like, fake spam, that's what we call it, which doesn't taste anything like the original. And so I attempted to make it, but because I had no seaweed, it turned into a big rice ball. This, like, a rice ball like this big. And I was, like, so frustrated because I was spent time, like, reading recipes online, you know, and I was thinking of, like, you know, and I was practicing at home how to make it. And then, like, I gave it to her and I was just like, I'm so sorry. This is all I could make. but she ate it. And she was really happy. And she actually, that's when our hearts started to connect together. And even though, like, my Arabic wasn't that good, like, later on in my ministry, like, there were times where she could understand me better than my teammates who we spoke in English together. You know, there's this verse in Colossians that talk about, you know, our hearts are knit together. And for her, I have to say that our hearts were knit together. You know, like, there were times where I was, like, so heartbroken over something. And she would just be there and cry with me, you know. She went to preach the gospel with me, even though she knew that she was an Arab person. Even though she knew that, like, she would risk everything, she went and preached the gospel with me. We had church together. You know, she was one of the very few members of our church where we came and worshiped together, where we read the Bible together. And, you know, we took turns, like, sharing the message. And she actually shared before. And we always concluded our church service with food. She actually even went to church with me as well. So there were actually other underground churches there as well, churches where international believers were able to come to. So people, actually like Korean people, people from like Ivory Coast, from Ghana, they all had their underground international churches. And it's okay to have international churches in Morocco if you are not a local yourself. And she came with me, and she was the only Arab person. But she went with me because she wanted to know what it means to actually worship with the body of Christ. And, you know, there were times where there are many close calls where, like, she's at the point of denying her faith. Because, you know, her and her community, to be able to be a Christian meant a lot of persecution. And there was this one time where she was ostracized from all of her teammates and classmates because someone found out that she was Christian. And she actually called me saying, I'm no longer Christian. And that was like one of the hardest days ever. And it broke my heart. I had to call her 30 times in order for her to pick up. But after that 30th time, she finally picked up her phone. And she finally was able to talk to me. And I told her, you know, we were crying, and I was telling her, you are a daughter of the King. You know, Jesus died for you and your sin. He loves you that much. I know that it's hard for you because, you know, I'm going to go back home in 1 year. You will always be forever here. But you are going to be a starting of the church in Morocco. You know, actually, she preached the gospel to her cousin. And like that Easter, before I left, her cousin came to Christ. And we had an Easter church service. And we're able to, you know, celebrate with her. You know, I wish I had more time, but there was this one other sister as well. She's also a Muslim background believer, too. She actually is half American. Her father is from Florida. But even though she spent like maybe 2 or 3 years in America, she said that she was American in Morocco, even though she was born in Morocco, and her stepfather and her mother is Moroccan, and she's actually fluent in Moroccan. But she led us to believe that she was bad because she wanted to appear as a foreigner. If you're a foreigner in Morocco, you can believe in whatever you want. And so she actually pretended that she was American because, you know, she was very light in skin. And so she could, I guess, pass as American, and she actually spoke with a country accent, which was really interesting. And so we spent time to getting to know her and had fellowship with her. And we realized that as we spent more time with her, you know, she actually was like leading a secret life. She desperately wanted to worship and pray with other believers, but she didn't really have anyone she could really do that with. And as we were worshiping together today, you know, there's this very special moment in which you're able to praise God. You're able to give Him praise through song and worship. But she could never do that, you know. And finally, we gathered together at our house, and, you know, we were just praying and worshiping. You know, we were just singing a very simple song, like, Shout to the Lord. And we were just all crying because, you know, there was just like the Holy Spirit really touched us and really bonded us together. And she was just like in tears because she could never really worship with people. And like, I think we take that for granted sometimes, like coming to Sunday service, coming to, you know, conferences, going to Bible study, you know, it's very normal for us. But for her, this was like a once in a million lifetime chance to do it. And just me giving her songbook to, giving my songbook to her, you know, she was just like in tears. So we were able to connect her later on to the long-term missionaries because we knew that we would not be there with her so that she could, you know, continue to have church. You know, I think like God really like, really showed me, you know, the power of being a body of Christ. You know, when two or three gather in my name, we know that God is there. And, you know, I just think of this sister, you know, all the brokenness that, all the darkness of the sin that we live in this world, but to have fellow believers by our side, you know, that makes all the difference. You know, when we think of, you know, where we are so discouraged, but we are able to call up our friend, it's like, hey, can you pray for me? You know, I went through this tragedy. You know, I failed school. Like, my parents are so upset at me. Like, in those darkest times, you know, we have a brother and sister in Christ which we can call upon and pray. We have that community. And for her, for that short time, for her and Sister O, I was able to be, like, that community with her. And so even though I'm here, I still keep in contact with them. And I just thank God that I was able to be there, you know, to be able to be in their lives, to be able to speak truth in their lives, and to continue to share my life with them as a fellow believer. So I'm a little bit over time. I wish I could share with you guys more. So please come to me. I love to share you more. But thank you so much today that I can come and share a little piece of my journey there in Morocco. Thank you so much.